how many of you think that networking is important? Well, good. I think networking is important. And it's your ability to network with other people that actually can bring enormous value to your life. But I will tell you that most young people don't know how to do it. They don't know the principles of it. And so in this session, what I really want to talk about is how do you go about doing it and what should you do? Now, when people think of networking, I think in many instances in this day and age, you think of social networking. And I'm not talking about social networking. I'm not talking about the Facebook crowd. Now, is there some value that Facebook has to people's life? I suppose. I haven't exactly found it, to be honest with you. I don't believe that Facebook is a kind of networking that I'm talking about. I think you'll see some things here. Networking is not about me. It's about what I bring the value to other people. And Facebook has the tendency to want to make it all about me. I do a little blurb and I let people know, Steve Riddell has gone out to wash his car. Steve Riddell has gone to movie. As if anybody cares what I'm doing in my life. Nobody cares about that stuff. Okay, we think we're so important that we have to let the world know, and I'm telling you, nobody cares. And if you think they do, think again. Y'all, Facebook has become, in my opinion, is a way to intrude in people's lives and find out what they're doing. And I guess it's fun and it's exciting, but I will tell you, that's not the kind of networking I'm talking about. The kind of networking I'm talking about is what brings value to two people. You bring value, they bring value. And it's not our ability to social network and Twitter that matters, okay? I think there are some things that I've heard in Twitter, and I have received Twitters, or tweets, I should say, from people that I thought were kind of funny and cute and so forth. I'm not saying that those things are you shouldn't do, but I will say to you that you need to take a look at networking in a completely different way than what the world has a view of in terms of social networking, just keeping up with everybody and finding out what things are going on. That's not what I'm talking about. So let's talk about what networking is, because I think it's really important that you understand this. There are four things, in my opinion, that networking is, and if you understand these four things, it can absolutely change the way you think about it. Number one, networking is the art of managing beneficial relationships. It's the art of our ability to be able to have a relationship with another person and manage it in such a way that we bring value to them, and in turn, what they do is they bring value to us. It's that ability to have a long-term relationship, and I really want you to think about this. It isn't like a Facebook where our goal is to get as many friends as possible. You know, I think in many circles, it's this idea of getting so many connections or so many friends. It doesn't come down to that. Who cares if I have 1,000 Facebook friends? The reality of it is, which one of those are going to bring value to me? Which one of those can I bring value to them? And when I bring value to another person, they in turn will bring value to me. And it really makes a difference. So number one is the art of managing beneficial relationships. And I want to underscore the word beneficial. It's not that we seek out relationships with all parties. It's those that we can have a beneficial relationship with. Give and take. We bring something to the table. And by the way, the Bible says, if you give, you will receive. And it's the whole idea of giving something to someone else with no expectation of receiving, but the law of God promises that we'll receive. And by the way, we'll receive more than we ever thought possible. Number two, it's giving value and in turn, creating a scenario where we receive value. Value is not what it is or what it does. It's what it does for me. Think about a product. How do we create value in a product? It isn't what the product is. It isn't what it does. It's what the product does for me that matters. And that's why I buy the things I buy. It's because it's the kind of thing that brings value to me. If I place a high value on it, I'll want it more. And people who have high value are those that other people find and want to seek out. It's this idea of value. What value do I bring to a relationship that causes other people to want to seek me out? And so if I give value, if I provide value, what happens is I receive it in greater and greater ways. So I want you to think about that. It's the art of managing beneficial relationships. And number two, giving value, and in return, receiving immense amount of value. Number three, it's the long-term value that is protected by a good name. You know, when I was uh, When I was growing up, my dad and I, we kind of had this game going on. I didn't think it was much of a game at first because I didn't enjoy it very much. But every time at the beginning of school, my dad would bring me aside and he'd say, okay, I want to ask you a question. What's your name? And I said, well, my name's Steve Riddell. He said, that's my name. Don't mess it up. And it seemed like every year we did this, and I was like, whoa. You know, what could I do to mess up his good name? Well, you know what? A lot. Because we lived in a small community and everybody knew my parents. And there were things I could do that could mess up his name. Now, you know what? That name is my name. And what he was basically saying to me is the value of a good name is worth more than anything else. And so long-term value is created by keeping a good name. If you keep a good name, what happens is people are drawn to you and they want more from you than you can ever expect. So it will create the scenario where things happen as a result and good things happen as a result of having these kind of relationships. And number four, I believe it all boils down to two things. And I want you to keep this idea in mind, okay? Two things. It builds awareness. That's what networking does. It builds awareness. And it causes you to be referable. And I want you to think of these two things. It builds awareness and causes you to be referable. So let's talk about how does it build awareness and what awareness is. Awareness is this idea of being visible. You know, there are some people who just become invisible by the very nature of who they are and how they act. They're not visible. You can go into a crowd of people and pretty much everybody is invisible except those who stand out. Those who you look around and you go, you begin to start seeing them. And what I want you to think about networking as being in a crowd and you are noticeable. Not by ill behavior, but you're noticeable in such a way that people want to come over and talk to you. People want to come over and share things with you. It's awareness. And if we can understand how to build awareness, then networking becomes a very easy thing to do because people want to network with you. So let me give you some things that can cause your awareness to come up because I think this is real important. Number one, the first thing I want you to do is I want you to engage your circle of influence. Every one of us has a circle of influence. And influence is the kind of thing that causes other people to move in the direction that we want them to go. It isn't by manipulation. It isn't by getting them to do something they don't want to do. There are three kinds of people in life: smugglers, bunglers, and sleuths. Smugglers, bunglers, and sleuths. I want you to think about this. A smuggler is the kind of person who uses influence in a way that is with the attempt to manipulate or to deceive. It's one of these kinds of things where we know what we're doing, but we want to manipulate or deceive people, and that's not what I'm talking about. I'll give you a good example of that. Back in the 60s, there were these people called the Hare Krishna, or the flower children. And they, at the very beginning of their religious activities, they wanted to get money from people. So they would go through the airports, and they would ask for donations. And people knew they were a cult and they didn't agree with their philosophy. And so they would come up and ask them for donations. People would go, get away from me. Hare Krishna, get away from me. And so the idea of getting donations was not high. So what they did was they went out and got flowers. And they were the first to coin the term flower children because they would go through the airports and they would give people a flower. They would just go around, hand people flowers with no expectation of anything in return. And then what happened is they would come back and ask for the donation. And just the sheer act of giving somebody a flower caused people who would ordinarily never give them a donation to give them a donation by the act of giving them something. Their attempt was to do something with the intention of manipulation or deception. They knew the power of reciprocity, which is giving something so you can receive. And because they knew the power of it, they were able to help people, manipulate people to giving them donations. And that year, their donations went through the roof. So they were a good example of a smuggler. A bungler is somebody who has no idea about influence, doesn't know how to use the principles, doesn't know how to deal with it, and they just bungle their way through life. And I fear that many young people today have no clue about this stuff, and so they become bunglers. And I will tell you, don't become a bungler. Don't become a smuggler. But you want to become a sleuth. And a sleuth of influence knows principles of influence and how to use them in such a way that gets people to do things they want them to do, but they do it in an ethical and non-manipulative way. Our goal is not to manipulate. Our goal is not to deceive, but to do it in such a way that people will want to go in our direction because of the kind of life we lead and the value we bring to the relationship. So it's that engagement in the circle of influence. Every person that you know has some kind of influence with others. And if you can engage with them and begin to start asking questions and seek advice and counsel, they then can open up doors for you that you could not do on your own. Some of the greatest employees I have hired are those who have been introduced to me by someone I knew. And it follows the line of thinking. Everyone runs in packs. Good people run with good people. Bad people run with bad people. Rebels run with rebels. And if you can find good people and they know other people, it's genuinely important that you realize that people put a high value on that. And when you're a good person and you refer somebody else, all of a sudden my interest level in that person is high because you are a friend, they referred you, I like them, and by me liking them, I like you as a result. So I want you to think about that. It's engaging that circle of influence in order to be able to help you, but building that awareness. Your circle of influence can help you with your awareness. Number two is not only just engage your circle of influence, but what about strangers? What about those people you don't know? One of the things that's really important about networking is not to just talk to the ones you know, but to engage with others you don't know. When I speak at conventions and trade shows around the country, I engage those who I don't know, and I will tell you, I have friends all over the world who have been of enormous value to me in a number of ways. Let me just give you an example of this. So I work for a company that has a customer service group. And we're up for one of the top three awards in customer service in the nation. One of the things that we're up for is a People's Choice Award. And it's the idea that people will call in and vote for your group, and the number of votes creates the People's Choice Award. Well, I think I have somewhere around 800, 900 people on my LinkedIn account. And so I sent a LinkedIn message to the people I know around the country. And in less than 24 hours, because of my relationship with them, I had over 800 votes from people, not only the people I knew, but the people they knew. And I will tell you, I haven't gotten the results yet, but I believe we will win. But it's this idea of getting people to help you that really makes a difference. Now, why would they want to vote for me? Why would they want to do that? Because of my relationship in the past that has brought value to life, and it's interesting that people will want to help. So it was fun getting all the different kinds of emails I got from people who were really genuinely interested in helping us. So engaging your circle of influence, talking to strangers, and the next one is you got to follow up. It's not just a matter of engaging with them, but the people who have the greatest influence with others are the ones who are willing to follow up, to let them know that they either put the advice into practice or thank them for the advice, and it really does make a difference. And the last one about awareness is maintain your presence. You know, it's the idea of constant presence. And that's why I think things like LinkedIn, even Facebook, Twitter, some of these areas, they can increase your presence, but you've got to use them in a practical way, not in this idea of intruding in other people's lives, but maintaining presence so that when people think about someone like you, they think of you. I tell people this all the time. What story are you creating for yourself that someone else would want to buy? Just think about that. What story are you creating about yourself that people would want to buy? People are attracted to other people with great stories in their life. And when you create a great story that other people see qualities that you possess, they will seek you out because they want what you have. So that's building awareness. I want you to think about that, this idea of building awareness in your life that creates a networking opportunity for you to take advantage of. Number two is be referable. I think young people today do not place a high value on this, and I will tell you it is one of the single most important things that I deal with young people, is they want things, but they don't want to be referable. And here's what I mean by that. It's the importance of others being able to pass your name along. It's creating such the kind of life that I, as a relationship with you, would want to pass your name on to one of my friends. Now, I will tell you, I will only do that if you're not going to embarrass me. I'm only going to do that if you bring value to the relationship. And I'm only going to do that if the other person sees something in you that creates a good relationship with me, where they come back and say, oh, thank you for introducing me to Joe. He is amazing. Because when that happens, it helps my relationship with that person. When somebody embarrasses me by the actions they take or the behavior that they exhibit, I'm not going to want to refer them again. And so we have to be referable. So here's about five things you can do to be referable. Number one, I want you to think of yourself as acting and being in such a way that you become memorable. You know what? When you're memorable, people will remember you. But if you are of no value, then people will forget. It's one of these things where you can have a conversation with somebody and they can walk away and forget your name immediately, or they will remember you. Some of the greatest customer service people in my industry are the ones where they create such high value that the customer writes us a letter and says, this is what this person did. And by the way, I thank Joe Smith. I thank Susie Jones. Why? Because they remember their name. They were memorable to the point where they remembered their name. That's what you want to be, is memorable. And not memorable in a wrong kind of way, but really memorable so people want to refer you. Number two, dress for success. I think young people today place a low value on this. In our casual workplaces that we have, I'm telling you, I'm shocked at some of the outfits people come in wearing. You know what I've said before is that you can always judge where a person's going to be and how they're going to be by the way they dress in the interview. And by the way they dress in the interview is the best you're ever going to get, and it's going to go downhill from there. So I want you to think about your dress. How do you look? And I'm not saying you have to go out and spend a lot of money on a wardrobe, but you need to look good. This idea of pants hanging down around our knees and ball caps being put on the back and tattoos on our body parts, I'm telling you, creates an image that is just absolutely not something that people are going to be drawn to. People are drawn to those who look good, those who look successful. And I will tell you that when you look good, that's half the battle. And if you can remember this, it really does make a difference. Number three, I want you to offer sincere compliments. You know, we become referable when we compliment other people. Not just looking for other things, but complimenting them. Complimenting on how they are, what they do, the value they brought to our lives, and so forth. So number three is you want to offer sincere compliments. Number four, you have to show interest in another person. And you have to show interest by not only asking good questions, but listening. Listening and adding commentary on the things that you've heard. And the last one is, I want you to think of, you need to think of being of specific use. How will people want to use you in such a way that brings value to them? And if you can think about these two things, building awareness and then being referable, you will then understand the art of managing beneficial relationships. You'll manage them in such a way because you are building awareness, you're being referable, and those relationships will automatically want to start happening. Number two, you'll give value, and in turn, you'll receive value. And number three, your long-term value will be protected by your good name. You will have such a good name that people will not only remember you, but want to introduce you to those people around them that will bring enormous value to what you want. That's networking. And I want to take it out of the context of social networking and put it into the context of networking that really works. If you understand how to do this, it can make an enormous impact. So let me share with you two things that I want you to think about. Number one, I think of all of the ways a person can network, one of the best ways is through LinkedIn. I use LinkedIn constantly. And I will tell you, it has brought a huge amount of opportunity my way. But you have to really manage it in a way that is appropriate. You can't use it as a Facebook page. It's not something that everybody wants to hear from you every single day. I very seldom will put something out there, but when I do put it out there, people read it and people understand it. I've written several articles, for example, and I've got it out to my LinkedIn network. And not only have people read it, but they've invited me in to speak in their organizations so that they're willing, so much that they're willing to pay me to do so. So we can create value by the kinds of things that we post. We need to make sure that it's done well. But if you reach out to successful people, and just ask to be linked in with them, they can open up a world of opportunity for you. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to register. If you're not registered on LinkedIn, I want you to register. Number two, what I want you to do is I want you to make sure that what's on your profile is something that people would be drawn to. Nobody cares when you went out to wash your car. It's not important. What's important on this is what value do you have? What things do you possess? What are the abilities you have? What are the skills that you know? And I will tell you, if you'll take great pains to put out a good profile and then be willing to ask other people, would they write a letter of recommendation? I've gone out to my LinkedIn group and I've said, would you be willing to write a letter of recommendation? I challenge you, go out and look at my LinkedIn page and you'll see a number of people who have recommended me. Why? It didn't come from them saying, can I recommend you? Because of my relationship with them, they were willing to do so, and in turn, I was willing to do it for them. And number two, there's also a section where they can recommend certain aspects that you bring to the table, like, you know, discipline or like strategy or any number of qualities, and people can also make recommendations there. So go out to LinkedIn, get yourself established, and begin to start reaching out to people that you believe could bring value to you. And I'm not talking about just people you know, but I'm talking about people who are also could be strangers. I could be a stranger to you, but I will tell you, if you want to reach out and be LinkedIn, feel free to do so, and I would be happy to return the favor. So if you'll think about those things, networking is a very important part of the process. And it's not just what we do on a computer, it's what we do in everyday life that matters. And it's that relationship with others that long-term, other people can introduce you to other people who know people, and pretty soon you've got a wide range of people who are all working for you.